On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. While it was still dark, she saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then, following him, Simon Peter came also. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, then entered the tomb, saw and believed. But they still did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went home again. But Mary stood outside facing the tomb, crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where Jesus' body had been lying. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've removed him, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her. In the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of their fear of the Jews. Then Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace to you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Seeing is believing. It's the proof that we need all the time, right? We live in a world of smooth-talking salesmen. Whenever we tune into the news, we're not quite sure if it's the real news. There's so much bias out there trying to spin political things that are sensitive. All around us, people are trying to convince us of things. But these things that Mary saw, these things that countless others saw Jesus do, it made them believe. Believe that Jesus could usher in a new kingdom, one that would bring peace with it. But then, as Mary told us this morning, he died. Jesus died, and hopes seemed to be dashed. Jesus' followers, they were so scared, they went and hid in a room. They were traumatized by the whole thing. But as we just read, and we were reminded this morning, the story didn't end there, did it? Of all the things that Mary and the others had seen, nothing was going to compare what Mary was about to see and experience at the tomb of Jesus. First of all, she goes and she sees there's no one in the tomb, and panic. She's thinking somebody took the body, and they're going to mock him. Probably put him on a big stake, impale him on a stake outside the city for everybody to see and make fun of. She didn't know. And then, as she looked inside the tomb, there were two shining beings who were there. Now, she'd never seen an angel before. Didn't know what that looked like. And so suddenly there's two of them there. And then she turns around and she sees Jesus face to face. But she was so convinced that his death was final, she didn't even recognize him. She thought it was the gardener. And then Jesus said her name, Mary. Mary. And there was Mary's proof. Jesus had defeated death. But he didn't stop with Mary. Jesus went on. He made appearances to his disciples. He goes so far as to show them the holes in his hands, the hole in his side where the spear went in. And in part of the history that we didn't read, he goes further and he appears to the disciples again, doesn't he? He even eats with them to prove, I'm not a ghost, I'm not some kind of a spirit, I'm here in the flesh, I've risen from the dead. The Bible records several other appearances of Jesus. Even beyond the Bible, if you don't believe the Bible, it's recorded elsewhere in other extra-biblical accounts by Suetonius, Tacitus, Pliny, others. None of whom were Christians. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But they all record something about the resurrection of Jesus. Why is this so important? Why is it that it's so important that Mary saw Jesus resurrected? Why is it so important that we actually make a special day out of it? Maybe it's so important that you, even though you don't come to church normally, for some reason you came to church on Easter Sunday. Why? Well, this is why, because if it's true, it means that that one final enemy that claims all of us, death itself, has been defeated. Defeated by who? By Jesus. By Jesus. You know, it's the one thing we're always trying to beat, isn't it? We're always trying to beat death. We're always trying to beat aging, right? We work out. We work out. So we can live longer, stay younger, right? The cosmetic industry, I've never seen this before a couple of years ago, but you know in Oshawa Mall, there's a whole store now that's devoted to cosmetics. I first saw that and I thought, they're not going to make it. There's Shoppers Drug Mart. It's packed. Every time I go by there, it's packed. Why? Because people are trying to mask the blemishes. Many of those blemishes come with aging, don't they? I think there'll probably be another one in there soon. There are scientists who are working on our DNA trying to reverse the decay of telomeres. Telomeres are the things that they believe cause our aging, the decay of the telomeres, so that they say now that if we can stop these telomeres from decaying, we could possibly live forever. All of these things to try and beat death. But if actually somebody actually came up to your door and knocked on it, and you opened your door and you said, and they said to you, "We found the formula so that you can live forever," would you buy it? You wouldn't buy it. If somebody you knew came up to you and said, "I figured out a way to live forever," you'd think that something was wrong with them, wouldn't you? You would. I would. You see, we have to see it to believe it. And that is exactly what Jesus did. Not just with words, but more than words. He skipped the words and he went right to the proof of defeating death. And we can sit here today trusting in him because, folks, he has risen and he has defeated death. And we need to trust in Jesus because he has defeated death. He's the only one who has defeated death. And this defeat of death is important because it tells us two important things. First of all, it assures us that he has done what he said he could do. He has paid for sins. And we need to trust in Jesus' resurrection because it proves he paid the penalty for your sin. And the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. That means that we have no right to a proper relationship with God, any kind of relationship with God, because we have thumbed our noses at God. We've chosen our direction to head instead of following his direction. And then God warns us in the Bible that, look, the wages of that sin are death. So whenever you're at a funeral, whenever you think about your coming death, we need to be reminded that the reason that we die is because of sin. We die because of our own disregard for God's ways. And God demands a payment for that disregard. And that payment is shown to us in death, every time somebody dies. You know, the Bible tells us that when we were first created in the beginning, we were created to live forever. But we sinned and God punished us with death. But you know what? When Jesus beats death, when he beats death, it means that he has taken away that penalty of sin. He's taken it away. So when Mary sings, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." She has full assurance that God, Jesus, actually does wash away her sins because she has proof in the resurrection, the coming back to life of Jesus. Now, secondly, we need to trust in Jesus because he has defeated the power of sin. The power of sin. You see, death isn't just the penalty for sin. Sin also has a power to it as well. It's sin that makes us do wrong things. All of the terrible things that happen out there. Murder, theft, those are the result of sin. But you know what? Sometimes the things that we don't see as so serious either. Lying, stealing, even something like complaining. Although I'm sure you probably never complain, right? Probably never. You know, the thing is, over any of those things, we have some control. We can do them or we can choose not to do them. But there is one power of sin that we have no control over. And God's given it to us to remind us that we ultimately don't have power over sin. And that one thing is death. It takes all of us. We all die. And it would take somebody to beat death to show that sin can actually be defeated. And again, that's what Jesus did. That's what he did. He beat death on that first Easter day when he rose again from the dead. And he proved, look guys, the power of sin is defeated. So trust in Jesus because he's defeated the power of sin. Now a couple other things I want to say too, and I'll be quick here. Thirdly, you need to trust in Jesus because there is proof in his resurrection. You know, you might come here this morning and you think, oh, there's the preacher, that cheap salesman, holding the Bible in his hand, trying to sell souls. But we're not cheap salesmen. You might think that the Bible is just some made-up religious book, but I want to tell you here that there is no historian, serious historian in any decent university. There's no classics scholar. There's no like-educated professor who would ever challenge the veracity, the truthfulness of the historical record of the Scriptures. There isn't. In fact, its sources and accuracy have been proven thousands of times over compared to other documents, other claims to antiquity of different things that are found. The Bible's used as a record by historians and scholars to verify times and dates of other things that happen. You may not know that. Furthermore, as we already mentioned, even if you don't believe the Bible, there are other historians from biblical times who recorded the event of the resurrection that you can read them. They didn't even like Christianity. The point is that Jesus has proven himself. And to dismiss this massive multitude of historical records and eyewitness accounts of Jesus, I'm going to be frank with you here, it is just intellectually honest or willfully ignorant at best. He didn't appear to people. He didn't dine with people afterward for no reason. He wasn't hungry. For no reason, he did it to prove that sin and death has been defeated. Now finally, you need to trust in Jesus because that victory wasn't one that he meant to keep for himself. He meant to share that victory, and that victory can be yours as well. You're gonna die. that shouldn't come as any great surprise to you. You are going to die. I dare say that in this room this morning, one of you is going to die this year. Maybe more. But you're going to happen. It's just a fact. It's going to happen to you. But wouldn't it be something to know of the possibility that you could come back after death, and that there is a resurrection, not just for Jesus, but for others as well, possibly you? Wouldn't it be something to know that death has been defeated, both its power over you and its penalty paid for you? You know what Easter Sunday tells us? It tells us that you can be assured of this. All that is required is trusting in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, by which He can take away your sins and by which He can defeat the power of sin in your life. Have you come here this morning thinking that that's a bunch of baloney? Or maybe you come here this morning, you didn't even know what Easter is all about. Well, you know what? You don't leave here like that. You leave here with proof that eternal life is a real thing because Jesus has shown it. Just trust in Him. Just trust in Him. It's that easy. Trust in Jesus because He has risen and He has defeated death. And let that good news be your good news. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what kind of good news is that? Lord, we give so much to so many things, so much energy to things that are never going to last. So much worry and concern to things that aren't necessarily going to last. But the one thing that we seem to go through life forgetting is that there is something that can last, and that is a relationship with You, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, proven by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this morning, if we're already believers in Christ, we have the opportunity to remember that and revel in that and leave here this morning, this week, remembering that we have a home in heaven. And when Jesus comes back, He's going to lead us there. And I want to pray that that would be peace and comfort to everyone who's put their trust in Jesus. But Lord, I also know that there is somebody here this morning, and they're not alone. There's more than one person here this morning who hasn't put their trust in Jesus. And God, apart from Christ, there is hell, there is damnation and eternal death. But in Christ, there is a hope and there is a promise that they can take hold of. And maybe that person has come with a stubborn heart this morning. Maybe they don't want to be here. The weather looks nice outside, have to admit. And they can't wait to get home. But Lord, I want to pray that You would get through to them. Let them lose their sleep tonight, if need be. Let them have an anxiety about not being in Jesus so that they can come to the cross, they can put their trust in what He's done, and they can join the rest of the people here who are going to get to heaven one day and sing hallelujah. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. Lord, touch us this morning. Give us hope in the Savior, and let Him be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.